You can sure tell it's the allergy season, can't you? Everybody sniffling and coughing. And all right, I'm going to be... I don't know that there's anyone here today that may not be saved, and it's a good message for that. But the message is going to be today is going to be for those that are already saved and have already been given the opportunity to be saved, and what the Lord requires of us as soul winners. And in opening up, I want to read Psalms 126. I'm going to read that, and then we'll open up in prayer. It says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Wherefore we are glad. Turn again unto captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again and rejoice, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to open up your word, to use it in our lives. And Lord, more than anything, find out what we need to be doing and what we need to be in the world that we live in today, what the Lord has told us to do, how we need to be doing it, and what we need to be doing even now today as we speak. Bless these words. They're from your word. They're not mine. I pray, Lord, that you would use them in a mighty way. Stir the hearts of your people here today. Give me the right words to say. And Lord, stir the hearts that need to be able to go out there and tell people about the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and say in this services, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The message is going to be about soul winning, and God's way is soul winning. He came here to die on the cross for one thing, and that is so that we would have the opportunity to be saved. And the Great Commission, what does it tell us to do? It says to go into all the world. He's not telling the lost person to go. He's telling the person that's saved to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Soul winning is the Christian's main business. It is our only business. The only thing that God commanded us to do when he came here was to go. That's all you have to worry about, and that is to, and the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is another soul, a family member, someone that needs to be saved. So you need to be praying for them that the Lord would open up the doors, and not only that, that you would have the boldness to be able to tell somebody about the Lord. Soul winning is the nearest thing to the heart of God. The closest thing to doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do in the heart is to tell somebody about him. It is the reason that he came to earth. It's the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. In Luke chapter 9 it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We were lost. He wanted us back. He gave us the way to be brought back to him through salvation. Luke 15:7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joys shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, other than the 99 that need not repent." So you want to hear some rejoicing and excitement in heaven? Just lead one person to the Lord, and there'll be rejoicing in heaven over one being saved. How may I be a soul winner? We're going to be looking at some of that today in the verses that I read. It's how may I be a soul winner? Revelations say, "Let him that heareth say, come." And the Great Commission to every Christian tells us to go. So we need to come unto him and be saved. But the moment that happens, then we have a job to do, and that is to go out and tell others. And one of the, back in junior church, when we used to work, me and Dottie used to work and run a junior church with 100 and some kids. If you led someone to the Lord, a little kid to the Lord, the first thing you wanted them to do is to be able to go and tell someone. So we would make it a point to walk out and talk to the parents or whoever they came with and say, you know, Tommy, would you like to tell them what you did today? And yeah, I got saved. And you tell them that they got saved and they're going to heaven. And why did they do that? Because they accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. That is the first step of going out, is to tell others. We need to be able to have the boldness to be able to tell. And that's where a lot of the problem comes into. You know, we have churches filled with people and Christians, but they have no excitement and zeal to go out and tell others. Let me tell you, the fields are white on the harvest where people need to be saved. And we have a job to do. Psalms 126:6, it says, God gives us the ways of winning souls. And in Psalms, I read the first verse, it says, and when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. They were excited. They were the joy that they had been saved. Because of them being in captivity, and you know, they were going back. They were under captive. All of a sudden, now their dreams to go back and build the walls. They had the opportunity and the freedom. They had gotten freedom that they never expected. And we that are saved and we have the salvation in our hearts and we know we're going to heaven, we have that same excitement that we have a wall to build. We have people to see. We have people to talk to that only we, and I was talking in Sunday school class today, there's going to be people that that only we can sow the seed. You know, there's different avenues, and we'll get into it in a minute, but there's different avenues. First you have a seed, and then you have to plant it. And then you have to water it, and then you have to cultivate it, and then it grows up and you harvest it. Well, not many of us have the opportunity to do all of that, but we all have the opportunity of filling some part of that plan of salvation. The seed is leading somebody to the Lord. You plant the seed about Jesus. That seed's not going to go anywhere unless it's planted. So that is our job. That is our only job, is to plant the seed. But once that seed is planted, then maybe your avenue of responsibility is maybe you water it. Maybe you know somebody needs to be saved and you pray for them. And you talk to them about the Lord. And you are an example. Whether you know it or not, we're either a good example or a bad example as a Christian. Let's be good examples to telling people about the Lord. Let people look at you and say, there's something about that person that they have that I want. And with that, the seed starts growing, but it has to be watered, it has to be cultivated, it has to grow, and it has to be harvested, each having a part. In verse 2, it says they were filled with laughter, not silly, frivolous laughter, but they were filled with a deep, full joy, close to tears. It says that then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. And then they said among the heathens, the Lord. They said among the heathens, they're witnessing already that. The Lord hath done great things. When we're saved, has He not done a great thing? He saved us from hell. We have a home in heaven. That's one of the greatest things that could ever happen, is to know that we have a home in heaven. And if you don't know that, you need to know before you leave today. That is our job as a church, is to go into the community, to go into all the world. And you know, we're talking in Sunday school. I said, there may be somebody over in California or Utah that's praying for a relative here. That we have the responsibility to the Lord through His leading, maybe lead that person to the Lord because some grandma's praying for a grandson here. But vice versa, are you praying for somebody over there that needs to be saved? We all have a job to do. Are your eyes open to those people around you? Do you remember the joy and the excitement when you realized that you were saved? If you don't, you need to have that excitement back. You need to have the joy that you know that, hey, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And you know something? The excitement of a parent is to know that your children and your grandchildren and those people that are around you are saved also and they're going to heaven. I would hate to be a grandparent and go to heaven and find out that some of my grandkids didn't go because I didn't say something to them. We need to have the boldness to talk to people about the Lord. What is it that keeps us? Are we scared that somebody's going to say no? Happens to us every day. People tell us no all the time. But you know something? You're sowing a seed. You're sowing something that's more than just a yes or no answer. We have a job to do. We need to be doing it. You need to be praying that the Lord will show you who you need to be talking to. The Lord will open up doors if you ask Him to open up doors. The last part of verse 2 that we're talking about, and they said, among the heathens, the Lord hath done great things. The heathens were impressed with the great deliverance that God gave. They were watching. They saw the deliverance. They weren't expecting the deliverance of God's people from captivity. What about our neighbors that watch us going to church? Do you not? Maybe you got saved while you were living next to them, and all of a sudden they see a difference and a change in your life. If you're a Christian, there's a change in your life. If there's not, there should be. Get in this Word. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the Word. Today our neighbors will know that there is a difference. There's a real revival. When God's people get right with Him and each other, the whole community knows about it. The community needs to know about Fellowship Bible Church, that the Word of God is preached here. With no exception, the Word of God is preached as the Bible tells us to preach it. You want to hear about Jesus? You want to hear about the cross? This is the church to come to. The psalmist acknowledged in verse 3, it says, acknowledges God's goodness. It says, but it seemed they are in need of another revival. Turn again our captivity. There are captivities that are worse than Babylon that we see in the world today. And some of us are kind of bound up in it. And that's what we need to be aware of. What are some of them? Well, one of the biggest things that we have today is a cold heart. You know, I don't care if they're saved. Well, you will when you're looking at them and it was your responsibility to tell them about Jesus and you're looking at them at the great white throne judgment and the Lord says unto them, depart from me for I never knew you. And it was your responsibility to plant that seed. How about cold churches? We see a lot of churches today that nobody carries in a Bible. Nobody opens up the Word of God to see what the Word of God says. You ask some of them, in some of the churches, even the pastors or the hierarchy, you ask them how to be saved. They can't tell you how to be saved. They don't know what the Word of God says. Our responsibility is to know what the Word of God says and how to lead someone to the Lord. If a person was dying in your arms and they said, what do I do to be saved? Could you do it? You need to. Four verses in Romans, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, and 10:13. That's all you need. Two or three pages turning in the Bible. You take a person that's Catholic and they've never been saved, you open up that Bible, you take their Bible and show them those verses and say, that's what you need to do. It's in their Bible. They just never read it. It's our responsibility to know. It's our responsibility to go. Just like it says, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. That is our responsibility. We have cold prayers that aren't answered or don't even go up into the throne room of God. We have cold ministries and we have sometimes cold services that people don't even realize they don't even feel like they went to church. We need to be excited. You know, we enter into here to worship and to get what we need to get going. But once we leave those doors, we leave to serve. The servant doesn't quit when you come to church on Sunday or Wednesday, and that's it. And you spend all the rest of the week living like a part of the world. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to have people coming here and saying, I led this person to the Lord, they want to be baptized. Well, praise the Lord. Let's stir the waters. Let's get some things going. We've had some baptisms here lately, and we need more. The last person's not saved because the Lord hasn't called us home. We feel the drought caused by worldliness over souls longing for a breath of fresh air. They are captive to their own sin. And that's what we need not be captive to. Don't let sin be a part of your life. Don't let it be a part of your everyday when you're not in church. Talked about in verse 4, it says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You know, this is probably the Nile River, and in the spring, as we see even now down south, all the water and the going over and the abundance of water that goes outside of the river, that is what it's talking about here. It says that it needs to be as that, the streams flowing to Egypt every year would overflow. And I think of the songs, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We need the showers of blessings from the Lord. And they come from Him. And they need to come from Him to us and through us into the rest of the world that needs to be saved. If you're going to be a soul winner, we need a revival as mighty and as overflowing as the streams in the south, as it talks about in that verse. In verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You're going to sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy, as the Bible tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice over one getting saved. That's what it's all about. It may cost you something to be a soul winner. It might be just tears of pride. Set pride aside if you want to talk to somebody about the Lord. Because, you know, what are they going to do, tell you? You know, you may find out that they're saved and they're not living for the Lord, which happens sometimes. But you may find out that they need to be saved, and they need you to unlock the joy. That's why I say, depending on how people look at you and your excitement in the Lord. Verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And there's five things in this one verse. It says, first it says, he that goeth forth. The word go is soul winning. Go is the first order of business for the Christian. Once you're saved, it is to go. In Matthew, it talks about the Great Commission, go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And that's what our job is. And also in Matthew, it tells us that we need to, Matthew 16, I want to read this one. Matthew 16, 15. Oh, my abbreviation's a little bit off. Sorry about that. It's not Matthew, it's Mark. I said, that's not what I put down. But Mark chapter 15, verse 10. That's one of those that got away from me. Perhaps the reason we are not soul winning is because we're not going. You know, we can sit on our front porch and wait for the cows to come home, as the old saying is. But that's not what it tells us to do. It says to go into all the world. It's not a case of the best person being a soul winner. Many Bibles are read today, and you go to church and they pray, but they never win a soul. We may live a godly life, and it's definitely a necessity, but we have to go out. We have to get going. Don't forget that the gospel is the word is spelled go, first of all. Some of the best scholars, you know, it's not a case of being the best person. It's not a case of being a Bible scholar. It's not a case of a talent. It's not a case of a human power or wisdom. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to convert a sinner. Our job is to tell people about Jesus. It's His job to save them. We don't save anybody. We're just telling them, we're telling the Lord what He has done for us. And that's what we need to be out there doing. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says, go into all the world. But it also says, lo, I am with you always. That's Jesus with us when we go. He's with us when we go. Going is God's first requirement in soul winning. Number one is to go. Don't worry about the word saying I can't do it, because we can all do it. We're commanded to do it. God wouldn't command us if he didn't give us the ability to go and do it. God will never tell you to do something that He will not give you the power to be able to do it. Set everything else aside. Do what the Lord wants you to do. John 3:16 is enough to lead a soul to the Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. He that goeth forth is the one that this verse is talking about. I like the little illustration of the war between the states. There was a young guy by the name of Jim. He was drafted into the Confederate Army, and he didn't know the drill manual at all. He got hooked in, and he was going to be fighting. He attacked, and the bugle blew for retreat. But Jim didn't know what the retreat meant. Others lamented, and finally, Jim came with a Yankee prisoner. And they said, "Where'd you get him?" He said, "Where?" He says, "The woods is full of them. People, the world is full of people that are not saved. The sound of retreat hasn't been sounded. We have a job to do. Until the Lord takes us home, we have a job to do, and that is to tell people about the Lord, to sow the seed, or cultivate the seed, or water the seed, or harvest the seed. Be there when the person accepts. There's no greater field than to know that a person sits there, and you give them the plan of salvation, and they repeat that plan of salvation as you tell them, or even in their own words. There's no greater feeling to know that you're going to see them in heaven because they got saved. That's what it's all about. It's not how many people and how big a churches you can build or how many. It is about getting people in, because people need to get in here to where if you have a problem talking to them about the Lord, get them in here. I'll do it. I'll tell them about the Lord. I learned a long time ago not to be embarrassed about Jesus, because He's not embarrassed about me. We have a job to do. When I first got saved and I got convicted about praying when I eat. And Daddy and me, we were going down to Florida and stuff like that, and all the kids are in the car, and we sat down to eat, and one of them get ready to start eating. I said, "We're praying for that before we eat it." They get embarrassed. I'm not. The Lord gave it. He supplied it. He gave me the money to pay for it. I'm going to thank Him for it. I'm going to make sure that the cook did a good job. Amen? But no, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Embarrassed is yourself. Jesus Christ died for you that you could go to heaven. And that's all there is. The fields are white unto harvest. There's so many out there that need to be saved. Somewhere there is a poor lost soul who needs you to tell him about the Lord. He needs me to tell him about the Lord. We need to get going. We need to get going. The latter part of that, it says, and weepeth. You know, it talks about the first part. It says about going. And then it says, weepeth, a broken heart of a soul winner. Perhaps even the going forth involves a broken heart. Is your heart broken for those, someone in your family that's not saved? That you know if the Lord came today, you would never see them again because they'd spend eternity in hell? That's what you need to remember and keep in your mind. We have a job to do. The only job that the Lord told us to do is to go. That's it. We don't have to save them. We just have to tell them about Jesus. He'll do the saving. He'll soften the hardest of hearts. He'll do the work, but you have to go out and tell people about the Lord. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 15, the love of the shepherd for the sheep, the love of the Father for the Son, God shows the heart of love for man. Tears are warm from a warm heart. You know, you're telling somebody about the Lord that they need to be saved, and you got a trickle of a tear running down you. They know you mean it. You don't have to have that tear if it's in your heart. But I'll tell you what, a person that you're talking to about the Lord and tell them they need to be saved, it starts in the heart. Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, it says that he warned with tears. Acts chapter 20, Paul said, he says, that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's Paul the apostle. For 3 years, he prayed day and night with tears, telling people that they needed to be saved. God's way is soul winning. That's what we need to understand. Luke chapter 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come and to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 15:7, joy in heaven over one that gets saved. Jeremiah says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. The Lord wants us to be a vessel used because he died for us. A vessel to be used. Weeping, yes. We may weep. I think there's going to be a whole lot more weeping in heaven over those that didn't get saved. But then it's going to be too late. Now is the day. Now is the time for salvation. I like the last part of it. It says, bearing precious seed. The whole verse that we talked about in Psalms, all of the verses, it all talked about one thing. When the Lord turns it captivity, but it says in the last verse, is he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, which is salvation, shall doubtless come again. If you do what he tells you to do, you will come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the harvest. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. Not to find out how much property we can have, or how much money we can have, or how many cars we have. How many people can you lead to the Lord or tell somebody about the Lord? That's what it's about. That's why we're here. All the rest of it is just a covering, is a facade. The seed is the Word of God. The only seed with the power to spring up in a human heart. That's all that is. Romans 10:17, it says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." 2 Corinthians, it says that we have that our weapons are not carnal. We're going against the devil. We need the power of Jesus Christ on our side if we're going to go against the devil. It's not, and it is not my word. In Jeremiah, it says, "Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh rocks apart?" The Lord has the ability to break the hardest of hearts, but he wants us to spread the seed. I think it's a great thing to be needed by God to spread the gospel. The one thing that he's told us to do, one thing, is to tell people about the Lord. The word of God is necessary. It shows God's plan. It shows his love. It shows his purpose. And it shows the sinner's condition. Each and every one of us was a sinner before we were saved. And we had nothing coming for us but hell. We must plant the seed if we want to harvest. Prayer meeting while soul winning later found that the lost souls reading of John 5:24, it's all you need. That's the only thing you ever need to know is those verses to tell somebody about the Lord. It takes a lot of seed to produce a good crop. But one kernel of corn, if planted, will sometimes give you one, at least one, sometimes two and maybe 3 ears of corn. And look at the seeds that's on that. Just think of Billy Sunday. You know, payday someday. We'll have a payday coming when we get to heaven on the people that we were supposed to lead to the Lord and people that we were supposed to talk to about the Lord and the seed. But payday, he preached all over this country from one end to the other. Payday someday. We do have a payday coming when we sit before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want to hear him say welcome into the treasures of heaven. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. How faithful are you? Only you know that. Only you know that answer. The one song that I really, really like, it says, "Going forth with weeping, sowing for the master. Though the loss sustained, our spirits often grieved. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." Bringing in what we have done, and we'll lay it at Jesus' feet because he is worthy. He will doubtless come again. I think of the prodigal son. He wanted to be in the riotous living. He wanted his inheritance then and now, and he ended up losing it all. But then we were talking in Sunday school class. I think of the father looking afar off. His dad had to see his son coming after he had had all the parts of the world that he could. He finally came back to the father's house, and that's what Christians need to do: come back to where they need to be. Isaiah 53, it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Jesus came rejoicing, bringing the sheaves, and all with him wept with him over the loss. We'll rejoice with him when the saints go marching in. When the saints go, I want to be a part of that number when the saints go marching in. Amen? We need to take a long look, a faith look towards that day when we will be repaid, maybe one, maybe two, maybe a hundredfold, maybe a thousand. Maybe you led someone to the Lord that got on fire for the Lord, and he's some great preacher. I think of D.L. Moody, and I think of some of these preachers and John R. Rice that have led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the Lord, but somebody led them to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Harvest. Romans, in closing, in Romans, I want to read this. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all you have to believe. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the four verses I was telling you about leading somebody to the Lord, that's one of them. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And who shall they hear without a preacher? This is one case where you can be preaching to somebody about Jesus. That's what it's all about. In closing, it all boils down to this when it comes to talking with people and family. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you care about people enough to tell them about the Lord so they don't go to hell? That's what it's all about. Think about it this week. Maybe the Lord will open up a door. He'll open up a family member that's in crisis and needs your help and needs to talk to him. There's no greater time than to tell them about your best friend, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. I would not close a service like this without asking if there's anyone here today that if you died today, you don't know that you'd go to heaven. That's what it's all about. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you haven't, you need to. And if you need to, please talk to me after the service. I'd like to sit down and show you what the Bible has to say about what you can do to know without a doubt before you go home today that you have a home in heaven. That is your greatest need right now, is to know that you have a home in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And I pray, Lord, that this word will spread out from these people to many, many others during the week, that they would be able to boldly stand before people and say, hey, do you know about my best friend? His name is Jesus. Lord, that's what it's all about. Go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Telling, not just to preach, just tell them about Jesus. Sow that seed. Bury that seed. Water that seed. Cultivate it. And Lord, even if we aren't the ones to do the harvest, may the harvest come and may it be plentiful. Bless as only you can in this service. Be with us as Lord after the service for the dinner. But Lord, more than anything, I pray, Lord, we enter in here to worship, we leave to serve. Let us do the one thing that you have asked us to do, and that's to tell others about you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.